We're studying through here the basic Bible beliefs, and we're on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some things took place the day that you got saved. And every single one of these teachings and doctrines of the Bible, they show us and teach us eternal security is found in every one of them. The fact that we cannot lose our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll let him hand those out, and then I'll briefly go back over some of them so you can try to fill them out. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And so we learned last week, we went over this, and I'll give it to you again. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes that person into Jesus Christ. So that's the top there. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes that person into Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that performs this baptism. He's the one that does it. It's not man. It's not anything that you've done, it's the Holy Spirit of God is the one that does the work at salvation. This baptism puts you into the body of Christ. It puts you into the body of Christ, or the body. And that's what we went and read these verses last week. The body is defined as being the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. And again, we went over all these verses. I'm just giving you these so you can kind of fill them out here. And then we'll pick up where we left off last week. When the Bible speaks about this body, it's not talking about a local congregation in a church building on this earth. The local church that you attend is not the body of Christ. Our church here is not the body of Christ. Now, if you're saved, you're a member of the body of Christ. But you can come to this church and even be a member of this church and die and go to hell. And you're not a member of the body of Christ if you're not saved. The saved people who attend the local church are in this body. But the lost people who attend your local church are not in this body. The only way a person can be put into this body is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The very moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ. As we go through these salvation doctrines, I think you can see over and over again that Jesus Christ is the one that's doing the work. He's the one that's saving us. He's the one that's, the Holy Spirit's baptizing us. It's His salvation and all those things. It's not you. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Just going to church is not going to guarantee you go to heaven. Just because you were water baptized does not mean that you're going to go to heaven. Just because, amen, whatever the world wants to say as a way to go to heaven, the only way is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And He's the one that does the saving. The Bible says it's His salvation. So the only way a person can get put in that body is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There, the Bible mentions other kinds of baptisms. It mentions baptism of water found in Acts 8, baptism of fire in Matthew 3, and a baptism of suffering and death in Matthew chapter 20. And we'll go over some of those at some other time. But there's only one baptism that puts you into the body of Christ, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. There are several kinds of baptisms found in the Bible. But we're told in Ephesians 4:5 that there is only one baptism. And that has to be a reference to the baptism that puts you into Christ that we read there in 1 Corinthians 12:13. It is certainly not water baptism. There are no references to water baptism anywhere in Ephesians chapter 4. But there are references to the Holy Spirit and the body. And we went over all those things. And beware of anyone that tries to change the wording in 1 Corinthians. There's some folks that every time they see the word baptism, they automatically think water. And that's just not the case. The Holy Spirit of God baptizes us and two, the body of Christ. And we went over all this last week, so if you missed it, you can listen to it online. We took a whole class and went over this stuff. The baptism of the Holy Spirit puts you into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We went over that also. You can go back there and look up them verses there and fill in the blanks as some homework later on. None of these verses here in Romans chapter 6 or Colossians 2 or Galatians 3 are a reference to water baptism. There's none of them. Water baptism cannot put a person into Jesus Christ. It can't do it. The city water system's not going to put you into the body of Christ. It's only the Holy Spirit of God and Him doing the work. There are the physical act of water baptism is only a figure identifying you with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God puts you into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ whenever you got saved. The Holy Spirit did that work. Water baptism is still a very important thing, and we believe in it here, but it is nothing but a picture, a type, to identify to the world what happened on the inside when you got saved. It's a picture and a testimony of what took place on the inside. And we're going to have a baptism service here in a few weeks on the dedication Sunday, and pray that all those folks can be here that day. We're going to try to do that, and that's going to be a picture and a testimony of what took place on the inside that the Holy Spirit of God already did. If a person does not get water baptized and they die, they're still going to heaven. But I believe that everybody needs to be baptized. They need to go through that, and they need to have that picture and testimony of what took place on the inside and follow the Lord in that. So, all right, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And now we're on the back side of your paper there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Salvation gives you a new relationship with God. When the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into His Son, Jesus Christ, it gives you a new relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. If you're there, say amen. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And so when you were saved, your spirit was joined to Jesus Christ. And it was joined to Jesus Christ when you were baptized into His body. Just as the Bible considers a man and a wife when they get married to become one, whenever you got saved, you became one with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He came to live inside that new man, that part that's sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And at the same very moment, you became seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And so down here in our earthly mind, in our carnal mind, we can't fathom the fact that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now. We have a heavenly body that's waiting on us. And we can't fathom that. We can't understand that. We will one day. But the very moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior, Christ came to live inside of you. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And you become one. Amen. With Him. Your spirit was joined to Jesus Christ. Look over to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. There's many a Christians that go through their Christian life and they go through their saved life and they do not ever fully realize what Christ did for them the very moment that they saved them. I mean, we've taken several weeks now to study this salvation doctrines, and God did a whole lot for us the very moment that He saved us. There's a lot of things that had to take place on the inside, and all you had to do was just trust Him as your Savior. Amen. And He did everything else. He did the spiritual circumcision, the operation without hands. He made you a new creature. He made you a new man. You were born again. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He baptized you with the Holy Spirit. He did all these things to make sure that you were safe and to make sure that you were saved. And all you did was come to Him and accept Him. Do you now see as we're going through here that there's no way that you could have worked your way to this salvation? All these things that took place on the inside are things that God had to do. There's nothing that you could do to fix the inside and sin that was in your life. There's nothing that you can do to fix that. God had to do that work on Calvary. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. Before this, we see the illustration here of a husband and a wife and to each other. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For we are members, verse 32, for this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When you were saved, the new man inside of you became married to Jesus Christ. The new man on the inside became married to Jesus Christ. Instantly, when you got saved, that new man became one with Christ. He came to live inside of you, became seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that new man became married to Jesus Christ. Look over at Romans chapter 7. Look at it in Romans chapter 7. We know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through this morning. And we have a much better place waiting for us. And you say, why does Jesus Christ do what He does for us? Why does He take care of us every day? Why does He do those things and He blesses us? And He does all that because His Son, the Holy Spirit of God, saved you. And He's living on the inside of you. And hey, in essence, the new man is married to Christ and He wants to take care of His bride. Just like you want to take care of your wife, you want to make sure that she's satisfied and make sure that all of her needs are met. And we have the illustration of a husband is supposed to love his wife just like Christ loves the church. And we're saved, that new man on the inside. Look at Romans chapter 7. Are you there? Amen. Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 4. The Bible says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be what? Married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth the fruit unto God. Before you got saved, you were a child of the devil. You were a child of that wicked one, and Jesus Christ redeemed you. He bought you back. He created you. We're all, I don't know what society wants to say about us coming from monkeys, but I came from God, amen? God created me. He formed me in my mother's womb, and He did those things. And God created me, and then because of sin, because of wickedness in our life, we become a child of the devil, and God paid with His precious blood on the cross of Calvary to buy us back. And then when He saved us, He fixed us. He fixed us on the inside. He went in there and He cut away our soul from our flesh. And we're baptized into the body of Christ. And He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And He married that new man to Jesus Christ the very moment that we got saved. And now what God wants to see out of each and every one of us is that salvation work from the outside, from the inside to the outside. He wants to see our mouth change. He wants to see the way that we dress, the way that we act, the things we do, the things we think about. All that stuff needs to work itself out. I don't have it written down right here, but it's come to mind just now. There's a verse in the Bible that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean work out whether or not you're saved. That's not what that means. What it means is work out what is on the inside. You're saved on the inside, now work its way out. Now the outside man, that old man that's not saved yet, that old man, this old sinful nature that has not been saved yet, has not been redeemed yet, work out that salvation to the outside. And God wants to see that happen. He wants, and that's why the convicting power of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives, whenever we're sitting through preaching or Sunday school or song or whatever it might be, and we feel God tug on our heart, it's Him wanting us to work on the outside to be more like Him. The inside saved. The inside is sealed and secured, and there's nothing we can do to lose that salvation. There's nothing we can do to mess that up. But the outside man is still lost. You say, what do you mean by that? This old sinful flesh, we're dying. This old flesh is dying. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, and this flesh is dying every day. Every decision we make, every decision you make to sin against God is putting you that much closer to being in a hole in the ground. But one day God's going to redeem that body, and He's going to give us a new body. But the inside man is the one that is married to Christ. It's the one that is saved. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I don't know about y'all, and I've said this before, but man, this stuff excites me. Thinking about what God did for us on the cross at Calvary. And the fact that He showed mercy to us. And all the things that took place the very moment that we asked Christ to come into our heart and save us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And look at verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. The Bible says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So the new man on the inside became married to Jesus Christ. The old man, when you got saved, the old man became engaged to Jesus Christ. To physically be joined with Him or married to Him later. We're espoused to Christ. And So this old man's going to get his new body, and it's finally going to join the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. As we use the Bible as our text for Sunday school, we'll have to turn to a few pages, but that'll be all right. I love my Bible. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. When you're there, say amen. That way I know everybody's made it. We got one person there. Everybody else there? All right, verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to even subdue all things unto Himself." Our bodies have to be changed before we can enter that place. Before we can enter into the presence of God, and before we can enter into heaven, our bodies have to be changed. And that's going to happen at the rapture of the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, if I'm going too fast, y'all let me know. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So that old man is when you got saved, was engaged to Jesus Christ to be physically married to Him later, and our bodies are going to be changed before that takes place. It'll take place whenever the rapture takes place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. This old wicked body that we're in, this old decaying body that breaks and has all kind of health problems, the Bible says it's going to be changed. And we're going to, during this rapture time, and we're going to be there to go up to be with God forever. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit baptizes, the Holy Spirit baptism makes a person a part of Jesus Christ. It makes them a part of Jesus Christ. Once you are put into His body, there is no getting out of His body. Once we're put into Christ, there is nothing you can do to undo that thing. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing the devil can do. There's nothing that any other person can do to take you out of the body of Christ once you're put into His body. And do y'all see through these verses that we were put into the body of Christ? Our new man was placed into the body of Christ. Our old man is still, and people have a hard time comprehending eternal security and have a hard time comprehending the fact that we can't lose our salvation. They keep referring back to, "I keep sinning, I keep messing up." That's because that old wicked flesh of yours is still lost as the day that you got saved. And it's not going to be fixed until we go to heaven. There's things that you can do down here in this life. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can go to church. You can draw nigh to God, resist the devil. The Bible gives us a recipe on how to live a Christian life down here in this old flesh. You know what Paul said? He said that he got up every day of his life and he reckoned that old flesh to be dead every morning. He said, I die daily. Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived, as we see his testimony in the Bible. But he, the greatest Christian that ever lived, said that he got up every day and fought the flesh. If Paul could have lost his salvation, he would have done it a few times. Why? We're in this old stinking flesh. Paul got in the flesh a few times, and he got mad a few times, and things happened. But you know what? He knew how to get right with God. Man. That's one thing I like about David. David messed up royally several times. David messed up big time. But you know what was different between David and some of the other men in the Bible? David knew how to get right with God. David genuinely knew how to get right with God. But that's the outward man. That's the man that we get up every morning and we look in that mirror. That's our enemy right there. That's who we got to deal with every day. But on the inside, man, that's the new man. That's the part that's saved. And there's nothing anybody can do to undo that thing. When God puts you into Christ and He comes to live inside of you, that's it. There's nothing you can do to change that. Now you let Him work from the inside out to take your life and to bless your life and to help this old wretched man that we are try to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did I tell you to turn to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? If I didn't, turn to 2 Timothy. I didn't turn there myself. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 12, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now let me pause right there for a second. That denying Him and Him denying us is talking about reigning with Him. It's talking about ruling and reigning with Him. Everything that you do in your Christian life after salvation is going to go through a fire. And we're all going to be judged on what we have or have not done for Christ. Your sins are not going to be judged when we get to heaven. Your sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ, He judged those things and He took our place on the cross of Calvary. But after you get saved, everything that you do in this Christian life, from the day you got saved forward, everything's going to be judged on whether you did it for yourself, whether you did it for the world, or whether you did it for Christ. And based off of what you did for Him, you're going to get the opportunity to rule and to reign with Him. Amen. And based off of how much you do, and we're going to get into some of this later, I'm just giving you a brief overview. This verse, when it says that He will deny you, that is talking about your inheritance. It's talking about your ability to reign with Him. After salvation, if you don't do anything for God, if you don't serve God, if you don't try to do anything to serve Him, then He will deny you that inheritance and that reign. And the only thing I'm going to say about that before I continue on is He gave everything for me on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross for my sins. He blesses me every day of my life. And I would be ashamed to stand before God and have nothing to give Him. I'd be ashamed to do that. You say, all my life, since I was saved at 10 years old, I'm 30, I've been saved twice as long as I've been lost. I've been saved for 20 years. And I would hate to stand before God, there with Him in my presence, and Jesus Christ, man, that gave His life for me on the cross of Calvary, and say, God, here's 20 years of my life, and I didn't give You anything. I gave it to the world. I gave it to myself. Amen? And so that's what this verse is talking about. But look at verse number 14, or verse number 13. So verse number 12 is dealing with an inheritance. It's not dealing with losing your salvation. I hope you understand that. We don't have time to get into that this morning. We will eventually, I promise, in this study. But that is dealing with a reign. That's the context of the scriptures. Verse number 13 is now dealing with a person that is saved but chooses to believe not. Verse number 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot what? Deny himself. When you got saved, he came to live on the inside of you. And say you got saved and somewhere in your life you got sideways with God. You decided you didn't want to serve him no more. You decided in your own carnal mind that you didn't even want to believe anymore. God can't deny himself. And now he's living on the inside of you. He's living in that new part of you. And God cannot deny himself. In verse number 12, if you deny him, he denies you the reward. In verse 13, if you decide you don't want to believe anymore, the faith of Jesus Christ is what keeps you saved. He cannot deny himself. This is the definition of eternal security right here. God cannot deny himself. And he's living inside of you. And if you could lose your salvation, then Jesus Christ dying on the cross would not be good enough one time. He'd have to do it over and over and over and over again. But when God does something, he does it perfect. And he saved you the first time. He saved you eternally. Do y'all see this thing here? I'm not making this stuff up. That's why I want you to have your Bible and look with me in these verses. So, because of this, because of the fact that Jesus Christ cannot deny himself, and because of this baptism of the Holy Spirit, your current standing with God, your standing with God is sinless perfection. All right, look with me at 1 John chapter number 3. Let me show you this thing. 1 John chapter number 3. Your current standing with God is sinless perfection. When God looks at you, he sees the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He looks at the new man, the man that he saved, the man that he made white as snow, the man that he cleansed with his precious blood. When God looks at you, that's what he sees. He sees, he doesn't see the sin no more. He sees the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He is looking at the new man when he looks at you. He's looking at his Son. It is like we're over here and we're living our life and we're messing up and we're sinning and we're stumbling and we're just trying to do the best we can. And when we pray to God, God looks over and he looks at us and all he sees is his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He doesn't see those other things. He sees his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 6. 1 John chapter 3 verse 6. The Bible says, whosoever abideth in him, what? Sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. We went over these verses when we talked about spiritual circumcision. Whenever you're saved and born again, washed in the blood, the new man on the inside of you cannot sin anymore. It's been separated from your flesh. Whatever your flesh does not affect that inward man any longer. All right, let's continue reading down through here. Verse number seven. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That is talking about the new man. That's talking about the part of you that was baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ came to live inside of you. Look at verse number 5 of the same chapter. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our what? And in him is what? No sin. So if he came to live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit, there cannot be any sin in the new man, the part that's saved. And that is why the Holy Spirit of God had to seal that thing, so that no sin could penetrate it, and so that sin could not defile that new man. Jesus Christ is living in there. He's a perfect man, a perfect being. And the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And that's why We need to read our Bible, and we need to pray, and we need to go to church, and we need to be faithful to God, and we need to serve Him so that the Spirit of God can affect the outside man. And that's what we need. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are what? So are we in this world. The Bible says that He was sinless, He was perfect, that He still is sin. Sin does not come anywhere near Him. And it says, so is He, so are you in this world. So our standing with God at this present moment, if you're saved, if you've been born again, is sinless perfection on the inside. Now we know that the outside is not perfect. Do we know that?
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah, we know that. Look at 1 John 1:9. Or 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. This is talking about the old man right here. This is talking about this old wicked flesh. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, man, that's a direct contradiction from what we just read. That's a direct contradiction, what it appears to be a contradiction. But this is talking about the old man. We would be foolish to get up here and say that we never sin, would we not?
Amen.
We would, if we're honest with ourselves. And verse number 9 gives us the remedy. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the old man. That's why you got to come down to the altar sometimes and say, woe is me. God, the preacher preached today, you dealt with something in my life. God, I'm here to get your help to help me fix this thing. Lord, may the salvation, the perfectness on the inside, that salvation work out to the outside. Help me with this, Lord, to get right with Him. So your standing with God is sinless perfection. Your state, there's a difference between standing and state. Your current standing with God is sinless perfection. Your state with God, which is your relationship with Him, that's up to you. You're as close to God this morning as you want to be. You've read as much as your Bible this morning as you've wanted to read. You've talked to Him as much as you wanted to talk to Him. When it comes to salvation, your standing with God is perfect. There's no blemish in it. You're saved, you're going to heaven when you die, but your current state, the state of affairs that you're in right now, is up to you. How close do you want to be to God? I want to be as close as I can. He's everything to me. And when I fall, when I falter, I want to get right with Him. And I want to be right with Him in every way. Your standing with God is sinless perfection. Your state with God, which is your relationship with Him, is up to you. Geographically speaking, you're stuck down here in this old body. Physically speaking, right now, we're sitting here in Hayden, Alabama with a Warrior address. And that is our physical location right now in our physical body. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter number 2. I hope all this stuff is coming together for you. I hope that you're seeing the big picture, what God did for us on the cross of Calvary. And all we've been doing is studying these verses and digging into them and seeing what the Bible has to say. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. So your standing with God is sinless perfection. Your state with God is up to you. That's your relationship with Him. Your geography with God is that you're stuck here in your flesh, in your body right now. But spiritually speaking, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, we're in heaven right now. That heavenly body's there, and we're in heaven. We're seated together with Christ right now in heaven. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, all these things took place because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. Because He put you into Christ. And once He places you into Christ, which is sinless and perfect, there's nothing you can do to mess that up. And God cannot deny himself. Do you see that? God cannot deny himself. He cannot tell himself no. He is sinless. He's perfect. And that sinless, perfect new man on the inside is going to go to heaven. And God's going to give us a glorified body, a new perfect body that can be in heaven. And based on whatever you do for God down here is going to be based on what you'll be able to do for him in eternity. You'll be able to rule and reign with him. And we'll get into it later. The Bible gives us illustrations of how this thing plays out and whether or not you'll be over cities or how many cities or whatever it might be. But man, I want to please God. And I want him to be pleased with me. That has to do with your state this morning. Not your standing. If you're saved, you're saved. But your state, there's a lot of people that are a long way away from God. That has to do with your state. But if they're saved, they're saved. And there's nothing that can be done to undo that. I thank God for such a wonderful, wonderful salvation. Amen.